The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios, or at least Ira's inside the MDN studios. I'm inside the web studio of my home office here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. You know, Ira, you and I have, and like everyone, I mean, we are unique. We've been talking about the fall being in doubt. It's not certain, you know, football in the fall. We're hopeful. We want to see it. I've gotten to the point where I expect that if we do have football in the fall, that some portion of football in the fall will be without fans in the stands. That is not based upon any official reporting. That is just my expectation at this point, based on, you know, what we've heard from doctors, scientists about the spread of this disease, the recovery from it, you know, where I expect we will be with testing capacity and treatment by that time. You know, I think it's there's a good chance that we will be back enough to have restored a good deal of normal operation, not just in athletics, but still be limited to a certain extent with how we operate. So super large gatherings like 100,000 people in a stadium, I'd be surprised if we were to that point. So Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, speaking with ESPN, he doesn't like the idea. I mean, no one likes the idea of no fans, but he seems opposed to it. He said, quote, "I don't see a model where we play at least any extended number of games in facilities where we don't have fans. College football is about the cheerleaders and the band and the campus environment on game day. We're interested in solutions that allow us to have a traditional game day experience." Ira, what if there is no solution like that? I mean, hell, man, I want $1 million, Ira. But you are going, maybe it's just not available for me. I mean, maybe there's no solution where someone gives me $1 million. This is insane that you're only interested in that kind of solution. How about you're interested in the kind of solution where you can have football and keep people safe? I mean, you can't have one, at least to me, if you're in a position of authority, you cannot have one without the other.
Well, it's a good thing that the, relatively speaking, the smarter people are in charge of making these decisions, because guess who's not allowed, say, in his building on May 1st? Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, is shut down until May 31st. The Big 12 is shut down all operations of sports until May 31st. So he would actually be in violation of his conference and get in a lot of trouble with his conference and his school. You know, his school that actually came out and defended him not being in the building. So they actually, you know, went against him yesterday. So I understand we want to play games. We want to watch games. Let's take it to this question, Sam. If you want to get back and you want to play games and you want to, if you want to use the term, rush things back, and you want to do this in college football, so you're putting at risk players who are getting paid what, Sam?
Scholarship.
So that you could drive the economy. I get the driving of economy of regions and states. I get it, because it impacts Ann Arbor, right? We talk about the city, the county, the state when it comes to games and what the impact is. I get it, but you're not going to put people that are not making any money at risk. Now, you're not going to put anybody at risk, but you're really not going to put people making no money at risk to make you money.
Right.
Is Mike Gundy just trying to find a way to earn his $5 million contract or something because he's not working right now? I just don't quite get it. How about safety first, and then we'll work our way through it? The fact is that it is only April 8th, and we have time to figure these things out. There should be plans in place. I think the golf people, they got all, you know, the Royal and Ancient and the PGA and the LPGA, everybody got together, and they started having conversations about, let's reschedule everything. It doesn't mean that this is what is going to happen, but let's try to reschedule it. So what people have talked about, you know, the comment from Notre Dame's coach about needing 2 months out, he gave you a timeline of what you need. That makes more sense. But just dictating that we need to have something either May 1st or I refuse to play with no fans, you can't draw a line in the sand like that when we're in such uncertain times. You have to let things flow and figure out in the over the course of time what is best for everybody. And if playing games this fall in empty stadiums is what's best for everybody, guess what Notre Dame's going to do? Because NBC is going to tell them to do it.
Right, right. Yeah, I hear you. Well, you do have other athletic directors talking about how, you know, a football weekend or a football game with no fans in the stands is a non-starter. But they're coming up with other solutions other than, hey, we just got to, I mean, you know, you got to have fans. We got to do it. It's the economic stimulus. It's too great. A guy like, you know, Miami's Blake James said, look, you fans in the stands, I just can't, like Swarbrick, he said he can't see not, you know, playing games without fans out there. But his solution isn't just to steamroll ahead in the fall, you know, to come up with some solution that demands you have games with players in the stands in the fall. You know, Swarbrick said his middle ground would be, maybe you have a couple of weekends with limited fans in the stands, but can't see going more than a couple of weeks doing that. Like he can make that call. Like he can dictate that. But
Notre
James
thinks they can make that call.
Blake James said, hey, you know, we can talk. How about we talk about or have a conversation where we're going to move the season to the spring, maybe. All right. At least it's a bit out there, but at least he is still prioritizing the safety, you know, the health and welfare of the fans, but certainly the student athletes. You're right, Ira. So, you know, what if you got student athletes that are a bit concerned, you know, about that? You know, how do you respond to that? You know, they want their families around, but at the same time, you know, for their families to be around and to have their health at risk to come watch them play games. I mean, that just that doesn't seem like you know, a fair arrangement.
Sam, let's step further back for a moment. I'll take a further step back for a moment. College campuses across America are closed right now, right? Michigan is closed until at least the fall semester. They're doing spring and summer or whatever you want to call the sessions, but they're online and not in person classes. And that's the case across the country. And there's talk already about, will we be back in class on campus in September? So here's a question for you, Sam. You can have Mike Gundy saying what he wants to say and Swarbrick saying what he wants to say. It doesn't really matter. If they're not in class, in-person classes, if kids are not on campus, if they're telecommuting to class every single day from home, wherever they are. So a Michigan student in L.A. is actually still in L.A. in September. You can't have a football season. You can't bring football players back to campus when you're telling everybody else to stay away. And I'm not saying that they're going to tell people to stay away in September. We just don't know. And so if college campuses are closed for the fall, which is possible, I'm not saying it will be, but it's possible because we don't know what's going to happen. And we've heard about the potential of a respike in the fall. If college campuses are closed in the fall, there will be no college football. You can't play a college football without college in session on campus. That's the whole point, is for the kids on campus to be going to the games and the kids on campus to be playing in the games. And if there is no on campus, you can't have the games. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be what happens, but it's something that has to be thought about.
Yeah, there are – Gundy is – yeah, wow. So, you know, Ira, he mentioned this already, but Gundy, he was – you know, he was pretty adamant that, you know, May 1st was a realistic return date for his staff, for the restoration of football, of football building activity. And he said it might get backed up 2 weeks. I don't know. I can't make that call. But if it does, we will start with employees of this company, the ones that come in this building. Then we'll bring in the players and slowly but surely we'll test them all in. So wait a minute. How are you going to – one of the things that has been universal in this, you know, in sort of the conversation about one of the issues with the spread of the coronavirus is testing or lack thereof. We just heard Dr. Desmond on yesterday reiterate that unless you are exhibiting symptoms, you aren't getting a test. I mean, a test is you go to see your doctor and your doctor recommends the test, but they are testing people with symptoms. They aren't testing asymptomatic people. So how is Mike Gundy going to get his entire football building tested? Yeah, I assume you know, the working theory here is that, you know, they're healthy to begin with. They aren't displaying a symptom. So how are you going to get all those people tested, Mike? Now, I think down the line, and this is one of the things that I said earlier in the show, one of the gateways to having football or any sport in the fall and beyond, I think, will be the availability of testing, the availability of rapid testing. So tests that you can administer en masse and get quick results. So before a game, you administer tests to everyone involved in the game, and 15 minutes you have the results. 15 minutes later you have the results, and then you determine who can actually be out there ready to compete. I think that is one of the ways in which you can make that happen. We aren't there yet. I mean, you know, the 15-minute test isn't universal. I know the NBA and the NBA Players Association, they are looking into that, looking into those tests. And then testing right now it's not available. The supply, the testing capacity is not expansive enough to really encompass everyone. It's not, you know, Ira and I couldn't go get tested right now. We can just, we want a test and we get one. It does not work like that, Mike. You can't just get a test because you want one. Wish it was like that. And I don't know what he saw or heard that made him think that was the case. But, doctors consistently are saying here that the testing capacity here does not allow for that. And yet here he said, I'm just going to test my entire football building. We're going to make this happen. We're going to be back to work. And, you know, he talked about how they quarantine, people who get the flu during the season, and they would act the same way with this. And he went on to say, from what he read, he said, we got to get guys back in here. From what I read, the healthy people can fight this. The antibodies make it better. They're doing some blood transplants now with people that have already gotten the disease, that have gotten over it, that have the antibodies that can fight it. There's a lot of people that can figure this out. So May 1st, our goal. So they're going to figure this out in a month. We can hope they'll figure it out in a month. But they're going through trials right now. They're trying to figure out if this is an adequate treatment. And this is not a preventative measure at this point. You know, we seem a ways off from a vaccine. So this notion that there's going to be a catch-all in place by May 1st is pie in the sky, which is why the university came back and said, basically, Ira, you know what they said? They said, don't listen to this dude. You know what they gave him, which we hear a lot. And I said last week, when Jay Williams came up with a bright idea for an NBA playoffs season on cruise ships, like, so you're going to get on a cruise ship. You're going to pack all these teams on cruise ships, leave them out to sea, you know, for weeks on end. They can't come back for 40 days in the midst of a pandemic. Hey, Ira, a cruise ship is a petri dish. Am I exaggerating when I say that?
Not at all.
So this is Jay Williams's bright idea. As a guy who thinks the whole stick to sports critique, you know, that slight that people intended to be, that is so out of place often because people in sports live life too. You can have informed opinions on other things, but when you say asinine things like, let's have an NBA playoff season on a cruise ship, okay, I get it. I get why you would say to that guy, stick to sports. Same thing with Mike Gundy, man. This is ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that his university, essentially, Ira, gave him a stick to sports. That's what they did. They said, quote, this is in the aftermath of Mike Gundy going off saying, we're going to be back in the building May 1st. We're going to test the entire team and all of the staff members. I'm just going to give them all tests. Like he has access to tests like that. The university said, we will adhere to the advice of public health experts who are making informed decisions in the best interest of the citizens of our nation and the state based on sound scientific data. We will also abide by the federal and state mandates, as well as Big 12 guidelines. We will not compromise the health and well-being of our campus community. This virus is deadly, and we will do our part at Oklahoma State to help blunt the spread. Ira, that's code for stick to sports. Isn't that what they just said?
Basically, that's – I mean, they gave him a very polite way to do it. I'm kind of surprised that the Big 12 Conference didn't just submit a very simple statement saying all sports activities and facilities are closed till May 31st. That's it. That's a full statement. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say anything else because he can't go to work. He can't go in. It's against the conference has said we were putting all the schools under the same rules until everybody can come back. It's kind of why the NFL is everyone's doing virtual draft because some might have access to their facilities, some might not. And so they want everyone to be, operating under the same procedures. And the Big 12 has said May 31st right now is the date that they might start, or I guess June 1st would be they start resuming potentially sports activities in buildings. May 1st, no. June 1st, yes. So Mike Gundy can think all he wants. But I do, Sam, I really do appreciate in all of his craziness. I do appreciate that he allowed for a two-week window there in case his May 1st date didn't quite work. He allowed for two extra weeks of grace period, which is kind of nice.
Right, right. He said, quote, I'm seeing total number of cases, but what I'm not seeing is how many number of those cases that are now back to normal life. It's really interesting to me to see the mainstream media, sadly enough, just how negative everybody can be. Let's just report the news. Let's start putting some things in there that are positive because I know there are some positives out there. I saw some things that were, kind of gave you some more optimistic looks or views of the future. The projections of the number of people that will die as a result of the virus, those are down, but the numbers are the numbers. The number of cases continue to rise. The number of deaths continue to rise. There's no way to sugarcoat that. There's no way to spin that in a positive light, that the numbers continue to increase. Now, I also have heard if you want to draw some kind of optimism, from the numbers, is that the rate of the spread, it seems to be slowing. That does seem to be the case. So that lends to some optimism about the return to life down the line, but not May 1st, Mike. Not May 1st. I mean, I defer to the experts, defer to the medical professionals. It'd be great if we could impose our views upon our uneducated views about things upon this particular event and have them be accurate. That's a far-fetched notion, but it'd be great if we could just, go off willy-nilly and say, yeah, back May 1st, and there be no consequences to that. But there would be. And he said, he went on to say, he closed things out. He said, maybe they don't come back, talking about some of the older people. Maybe they don't come back, or maybe folks who have some type of underlying condition don't come back. But the majority of people in this building who are healthy, and certainly the 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that are healthy, the so-called medical people, the so-called medical people saying the herd of healthy people that have their antibodies may be built up and can fight this. We all need to go back to work when they say it's prudent to, Mike. When the medical experts are saying they don't know yet whether the antibodies will provide the necessary or an effective treatment to this. That's why they're testing it right now. I think there's some promise there. I think there's some optimism there. But they don't know that. What doctor have you heard about? Any treatment for COVID-19? Have you seen any doctor come out and say definitively that this is an effective treatment for this disease? There is not one. There is not one of note with any credibility that has said that. They are in a testing. They're testing multiple treatments right now, and we hope that one or more of them turns out to be effective. But until we have that information, you can't act like, the test is the same thing as a positive result. A test is a test. It's not the result. It's not, oh, they're testing for this so we can go back. That's not how it works, man. And this, I'm with. I am so with. We are not immune. So let's be clear here. As we talk about this, we are not immune from the effects of the spread of the coronavirus. Massive hit financially here. I mean, this is, you know, people's lives where we work, whether it's at Ann Arbor Radio or there's 24/7 Sports, impacted dramatically by the cancellation of the seasons, feeling substantial financial impact from this. So we aren't talking from an ivory tower here. Like, you know, we are immune from the effects and telling everyone else that, hey, you guys just deal with it. We are dealing with it too. But, you know, in the order of operation or the prioritization of things here, what is being prioritized is safety, is health and welfare. The economics of it are extremely important, not denying that, certainly taking that into account. And at some point, there's this leveling off, if you will, of the risk health-wise relative to what's happening to the economy. And then at that point, yeah, you know, you do go back. But we aren't at that point yet. And so I have to continue to prioritize the safety and well-being, not just of the student-athletes, but on a society as a whole. Fortunately, you know, he had some folks over him that were speaking more reasonably, more responsibly down there in Stillwater. We got to get to a break. Recruiting roundup on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.